This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
It's unfortunate that it has taken us almost half our lives to sort out this problem with the electricity in the country. I mean, it started when the station launched in 2007.
Come to think of it.
It's been going on for that long. But yeah. Solutions are finally on the cards. Government's response to the electricity crisis in the country.
And right now we're joined by energy expert Adile Ntshabeleng after President Cyril Ramaphosa addressed the nation last night, sharing government response to the electricity crisis that we have been dealing with or are still dealing with. And, you know, we're asking, were those solutions? Where's the way forward? And he's joining us on the line right now. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm good.
Thank you for joining us. Now, what we perceive as the long-awaited solutions that we as South Africans have really been hoping for is what we heard the president addressing, you know, and presenting last night. But are they really solutions? What do you make of what he had to say, especially around the importing and buying excess power from neighboring countries?
Okay, I think the speech was great in a sense that it opens up a floodgate of opportunities for people to start generating their own electricity. And on top of it, the aspect whereby, you know, South Africa can now buy excess energy coming from other countries. I mean, that agreement has already been in place. I don't know why they haven't been implementing it all along. But again, we know that South Africa has been buying any electricity coming out of various countries. So that's not anything new. I mean, we have Kahora Basa, which is selling electricity to South Africa, and we have other regions that have been doing electricity exchange at any given point of time. So that was not anything new in terms of announcement. That has already been happening. Whether they are going to accelerate the aspect of buying out electricity from the South African Power Pool, you know, consortium, which is the neighboring countries in South Africa, is a different thing. But, you know, I don't think that's anything new in terms of an announcement. You know, the president did state it, but it's already been happening. You know, overall, the speech was great in the sense that it opens up opportunity for massive generation of electricity to be created in the economy. Very scanty on the point that relates to how they are going to turn around Eskom and make sure that it's functional and that we have restoration of guaranteed electricity in the market.
Yeah, speaking about turning around Eskom, I mean, the issue of skilled personnel at Eskom has been a discussion that has been ongoing. But then why do you think it has taken government so long to implement a plan to ensure that there are skilled personnel on board in order to move this forward?
No, I mean, it's a bit of a lie to say that Eskom doesn't have skilled personnel. It does have a lot of skills. I mean, there's over 46,000 employees within Eskom, and you can't tell me not even 10,000 of them are unskilled. So that whole issue of saying Eskom doesn't have skills has actually been punted by people who have odd interest in terms of getting into Eskom and actually furthering their own interests. Eskom has been functional. The issue right now at Eskom is the allocation of required budgets in order to make sure that the power plants are maintained and actually kept in a state of operational efficiencies, whereby the energy availability factor is higher. So I don't buy the whole concept that says Eskom has no skilled personnel, and as a result, we must have Solidaritate as well as AfriForum bring in, you know, so-called white retired engineers to come and help. That is not the fact. Eskom has a lot of great engineers, and there's a lot of retained engineers that are coming out of the apartheid era that has been working in Eskom. Yes, there's been a lot of skills flight out of South Africa, where people felt that, you know, this country is going nowhere. The issue of security, the issue of crime, the issue of all other insecurities that most South Africans were faced with, and most of them left as a result. You know, but that didn't drain Eskom in terms of core critical skills. Power stations are still running and operating efficiently as we are speaking. The only problem which was actually identified is the fact that Eskom needed to prioritize the functioning as well as the operations at its power plants.
You know, one other issue that was addressed yesterday was the issue of the construction of the first solar and battery storages, I think Komati, Majuba, Letaba, and several other power stations. Looking at this, I mean, how do you think this will boost Eskom at this moment? And how long do you think it will take to have this up for us to be able to see a difference?
Well, in terms of battery storage, I mean, battery storage is not going to be a solution to load shedding at all, you know. Some of this battery storage technology we're talking about is at its infancy level, which means it's still at the starting stage. We are experimenting in South Africa in order to see the viability of actually using battery storage, as other countries are doing, you know, in the globally developed countries where they are looking at a way of actually harnessing excess energy to be stored. But in terms of, you know, what we need in terms of proper battery storage is pumped hydro storage, which means that dams are actually used in the day whereby they can be refilled with water. And then during the, you know, peak periods, they are actually, you know, sort of released so that energy can be created. Out of that energy is then made sure that we have excess energy we require for peak period. And then at night, it's pumped back. After the peak period, it's pumped back into the dam again. So that's what we call storage, and it's actually referred to as battery storage. But the current battery, which we're talking about here, is battery whereby there will be large park structure-like, whereby it's like a warehouse or a factory-style made-up battery, which will store electricity. Most of that electricity will not even, you know, be able to be accessed by the grid at most levels. It will only be depressed in a matter of 2 to 4 hours. It will be completely gone and needs to be recharged again. So that is still an experimental technology. So it's not going to help us at all with load shedding at this stage.
Yeah. You know, this energy crisis committee, I mean, it comprises of leaders in energy space. And I think maybe those you mentioned earlier on, which are the skilled personnel that are needed at Eskom, fall under that. But then there are different ministers that will also form part of this committee. These are ministers that have also failed in their respective portfolio. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, South Africa loves committees. I mean, how many committees does Eskom have and the president in terms of his committees that advise him on energy? The energy crisis still persists irrespective of how many committees have been formed. What needs to be done is focusing on basics. Return back the current unavailable power, which is currently at power stations, whereby most of the units are down and some of them are actually being closed down as a result of, you know, inability to fix them properly and to give resources to make sure that they are revitalized and refurbished. So, you know, committees just sit and discuss and then come up with some of these plans, which are wild plans. Implementation part of it is where the critical mass is at. And none of these committees are responsible for anything to do with implementation. We've had already two committees. One was the advisory council on the president in terms of load shedding. There was another one, which was an advisory council as well to the president on Eskom energy crisis. None of them have delivered anything except just desktop studies and, you know, sort of impressions on what could possibly be. But in terms of driving the real implementation of these plans, there you need a totally different caliber of people. What I see lacking, in my view, in the South African energy space is the participation of young people as well as South Africans in general who understand the energy market as well as the energy economy as well as the energy space, who are actually sidelined, unfortunately, due to the fact that probably they don't agree to certain positions that are taken, and as a result, they are not given the opportunity to participate. But, you know, South Africa is really awash with a lot of potential and talent. But they, you know, whenever they select some of these committees, it's always based on who is favored the most and who belongs to what section and what interest in terms of politics. So it doesn't help to create, you can have 1,000 committees, they're not going to solve anything. The most critical issue is getting back to the fundamentals. Make sure the power stations are working. That will stop load shedding in the interim. And then get to the point of now starting to build brand new other power stations, brand new other technology solutions, and then supplement it with what was announced last night in terms of opening up the energy generation market and ensuring that all other producers who wants to produce can produce and actually be able to fit into a grid and network.
I think from what you've just explained, we really still have a long way to go. But thank you for coming and just putting things in perspective for us and helping us understand, you know, what the president had to say to us last night. That was energy expert Adil Ntshabeleng.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.